My guest, if I haven't said it before, I'll say it again, The Sexies. And this is a track from their new CD, Midnight Raving Angels. Name of this track is Eagle Rock. And we're going to hang out with them, play some music, chat a bit. It's going to be good fun. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to killradio.org, where technical difficulties are our game. Let's see. Let's do a little test. Are the Sexies here?
Yes.
Mic two, check. We are here.
Hello?
Ah, much better. Much better.
We're all here?
Who am I looking at?
I'm Todd.
And I'm Jerry.
And I'm Chris.
And you are the Sexies.
We claim that.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Why don't we just start just describing the surroundings so that the people in internet land who are listening have an idea of what I'm really looking at.
Oh yeah, well, Kill Radio is really an amazing place.
I couldn't believe it's
like you know.
It looks like a Turkish harem, actually.
Yeah, it's very plush.
Silk pillows everywhere.
I think it was a building. I did a little research, and I heard that it was built in the turn of the century.
Yeah.
It was actually a bathhouse. And it's really, that's why the sound is so good, because the walls,
echo.
Yeah, because the walls are all real marble.
Resonance, yeah, it's always
and,
good. And you don't have to wear the big pants either, like they did in the harem, which is a good thing.
I get Turkish prison a lot, actually.
It was in the 30s, it was used as a Turkish prison.
I did spend about 3 years in a Turkish prison, and this is nothing like a Turkish prison.
It smells a little different.
They have better
pillows.
It smells
a lot different.
Prison,
it's a lot,
right?
I feel a lot less threatened here.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really great because, like, everything is the silks are still original.
Yes.
Which is really beautiful, and all the velvet curtains.
It's all true.
And the hookah pipes that are, you know, lining the walls.
Yeah, I can't even see Jerry. There's so much smoke in the room, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all herbal. And,
legal herbal, mind you.
Yes.
It's chamomile
yes,
or
and,
something, right?
And the Paragon. The sofas are all original from, I think, the teens. They put them in here.
Who started?
Teenagers made them.
I hate to interrupt you guys with a question, but how did this band happen? Who started this phenomenon?
Well, actually, this band started many, many decades ago.
The version of the Sexies, which was spelled differently.
It was actually like Szexies, because it was named after Maximilian Szexies, who came. He was a Polish immigrant who came to this country, and he somehow got mixed up in the elixir business with a guy named Dr. Rufus Bode.
Man, I was mixed up in the elixir business last night, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Cinco de Mayo. Parte. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I was at Acapulco all night. They were having slammers.
I was actually in Acapulco.
You went to Acapulco and
yeah.
You just blew back here this
morning. I don't
know
how I got there. I just sort of.
We were wondering why you were late. And you were only 5 minutes late.
No, I know.
It's pretty amazing.
I'm fast.
So I thought you were in a Turkish prison.
No, that was several years ago.
Oh, okay.
back to the history
elixir
of the Sexies.
Thing.
Yeah, and so.
He took over the show.
It was a medicine show, and they'd sing songs, and then they'd sell
elixir. Unfortunately, Dr. Bode drank some of his own elixir and died.
Yeah.
And so Max took over the show and kind of started this little family of musicians, and they carried on.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's been various permutations of the Sexies. We're, I think, the seventh or eighth. But it was really funny because we met each other in Los Angeles, and the Szexis traveling caravan went all over America, and this guy pretty much planted his seed all across
he was very busy,
and then his offspring would start different incarnations of the band of the Szexis, and they were like all over the place. Well, that kind of died down in like the 60s or so,
right,
and then there were several bands in the 60s, the Szexies, and then in the that's where the name actually got its proper spelling.
Yeah, because it was the Sexual Revolution.
Yeah, the Sexual Revolution. Then the 60s were kind of a mod version of the Szexies, and then when they broke up, another version of their children started a disco version of the Szexies.
Right.
So now we're just the latest kind of permutation of that. We found each other Todd and I worked at CBS together, and we found out that we were related by God knows how many.
Many.
So it's kind of like the Dalai Lama of music. It's sort of like passed on.
Yeah, and then you find out you're
you
the
find
chosen
out that
one.
You're the chosen one, and you're also chosen one, and collectively you make up the Szexies.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us didn't want to be rock stars per se, and we just, this was our destiny. And
we even hate each other, and we just feel that we owe our countless generations of Szexies before us to get together and do music.
We're doing this purely out of duty.
Well, you know what?
Hell and spite. We mostly do it out of spite.
Well, yeah, exactly. He does it out of spite. It's mostly because of the Turkish
prison.
Yeah,
we found Chris, who's from Detroit, and I'm from Detroit, and that was really hilarious because I think we may be cousins.
Yeah, somewhere
or
down
brothers
the line. Somewhere,
some sort.
I mean, I don't know exactly, but I did some genealogy research online, and yeah, it turns out that Jerry and I are much more closely related than we would ever want to be.
Same beady eyes. It's really creepy.
They practically cross.
It's really creepy.
Well, why don't you give me an example of how badly you get along?
Okay.
We'll do a live tune, we'll come back and we'll talk about the greatest music ever to come out of
Sounds
a mental health facility.
All right, let's do
the Szexies.
Letter to Elizabeth. She's cradled in his arms.
Sometimes it seems that men can only do you harm. Remember, when you love the world around you, well, nobody cared about you. And all around the world, they'll hear you coming. Temporary heartbreak, uptown woman. Summer girl becomes a woman. Ooh, Black Dahlia, hiding out in Hollywood. I don't even notice you at
true. Everything you said up to this point, from now on, it's all lies.
I hate you. See, I just, all I can think of is all the mess ups that Todd just did.
I know.
That's
made...
all I can think, and how much Chris was not playing on the downbeat.
Yeah, Jerry, you're a jerk.
So, before you guys break up, like right here in front of me, let's talk about your sound. Like, there's definitely... There's something, I know it almost sounds like a cliche to call something unique. Like, it's not even a really good way to describe things
grotesque
anymore.
Grotesque maybe is better.
Perhaps, but, brutal. I mean, seriously though, for like a group, for like three young guys with guitars and bass and drums out there playing in Hollywood, there really isn't any other sound quite like the Sexies. And I don't even mean that as a compliment.
Well, we won't take it that way then.
Yeah, well,
no,
I think
I'm kidding. You know
I'm
a huge fan.
We don't listen to music necessarily. Yeah. I don't listen to music. From any time in particular,
except for
the other Sexy permutations.
I guess what I'm getting at is that, you know, you have a much different sound from the usual indie rock crowd, and it seems, you know, you have a like a clear Beatles influence and
it's a lot of classic rock.
Is
because
it,
they knew how to write music then, you see.
Yeah. It actually mattered back then.
Yeah.
So is it important to you guys?
And we
like,
don't think that we that white people should be rapping over distorted guitars. So, you know, that really sets us apart from a lot of the L.A. bands.
From, like,
days.
Most of the music
well,
out there.
Which is funny because Limp Bizkit is right outside. They're in the room.
Yeah,
right,
I'm interviewing
them. They're in the Bravo
next.
Right next door.
Yeah, they're in the green room.
Dude, so, and they're listening right now. So when we lock the door.
That's okay. Fred Durst and I have gone a couple rounds before, and I can tell you he's not all that he's cracked up.
He's not all that. Well, I'm gonna lock the large bolt right now. Hold on, that's on the door. Hold on a second.
His left side open.
It sounded like you were killing a pterodactyl
or a cat or something.
Well, I did. I was killing a pterodactyl. I just didn't want the rest of the audience to know that. I was trying to disguise that.
Couldn't you kill it before we came on the air?
No, I'm hungry. I'm gonna eat it right now.
All right, you have a pan.
All right. So, What I want to know is basically, like, how do you guys pitch yourselves? I mean, I couldn't call you an indie rock band, because that brings up sort of connotations of a lot of music that sounds different from what you guys are doing. So, and you're not just doing classic rock either, because it's modern, it's new, you write your own songs. So,
I've always kind of considered it to be retro pop, because, you know, I think that we have a lot of a pop sensibility about the songs that we do. And when I say that, I don't mean a Britney Spears pop. I mean, you know, more of like the Beatles or the Kinks or something like that, where there's...
See, I don't think of that at all. I think...
And Jerry, is it a collaborative project, or is there one person in the group that writes the most of the songs?
It's actually Todd and I write all the songs. And he writes the good ones, and I write all the ones that are...
Well, if you ate less pterodactyls, you might get more information.
I thought the blood of a pterodactyl is supposed to make you god.
Focus. Come back to me.
Yeah. So now this... I think that, like, there's a long tradition of, like, good pop music that is actually about writing... Oh, wow. I can actually hear myself now. Like good pop songwriting that sort of like transcends time or place or whatever, you know. And there's a lot of bands that are sort of like throwbacks or whatever, but I hope that we're not necessarily one of them. That like you can take all these last few decades of music and, you know, like a century's worth of music and be able to sort of come up with your own sort of version of it just by like picking and choosing.
The good thing about things. Rock and roll as such too is you could play a jazz record and call it rock and roll and everybody would believe you, because... Yeah. Rock and roll can be anything.
It's very malleable.
So you don't think of yourselves as like a tribute or a homage to group. Like you think of yourselves as modern
maybe,
and present.
Maybe a homage to every group that we've ever heard.
Yeah, right. I guess that's all right. And the whole idea is that if you know, the more music that you know, the more you can. And we like listen to music all the time. And I have the world's biggest record collection in the world ever. And so
ever. Except for
and
here.
So we have. Yeah, and so we have our own. We have our own like listening sessions, and we sit down and we listen to new music and we give it to each other. And now that there's the internet, we can share it with one another and stuff.
And I think all three of us kind of, we have certain musical influences that we all share, but then there's all of us go off in different directions when it comes to what we listen to. And I think by all three of us kind of bringing that to the table, we sort of combine a bunch of different styles that maybe don't, when instinctively you wouldn't think of them going together, but when you know we've got three people who are sort of starting at the same place, bringing it all together, it kind of creates its own sound, I think.
Do you guys ever
just like goulash?
There's a very very Eastern, Far East European theme going on here. Do you guys ever put together a song and then realize, you know what, this isn't the Sexies. This isn't, like, do you have
so.
A tailored
no.
sound, do you think?
No, because, and that may be one of the problems, is that I don't think there's an easy way to pigeonhole us, but because, like, there's so many songs that even, just from the songs on the album, but also songs that we haven't released yet or whatever, we have, like 100 songs right now, and they're all over the place, and that's kind of difficult to tell people. It's like, you know... But
it's the record executives pulling out their hair kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ooh, are they an alt-country band? Oh, wait, no. This next song is sort of a bubblegum song. Or, oh, wait, this song sounds like Led Zeppelin. That doesn't make any sense. You know, so you know, it's kind of strange when people say, oh, well, you guys sound just like Badfinger. Because it's like, well, just listen to the next song. It's not going
to... Yeah, what it comes down to, I think, is if we played the same kind of song over and over, we'd just get too bored. So we have to branch out into
and
other
it's like
sounds.
Hopefully, like, our albums are like a really good mixtape where from one song to the next, you have, you know, you don't limit yourself to just, like, you know, one album's worth of materials. You pick and choose whatever you really, really like.
But I do think there's still sort of one underlying sound for us that, you know, while we do sort of go... across the board, you still hear it and say, that sounds like the Sexies, I think, even though it may be a completely different...
Well, that's what
you just can't marginalize it into, like, one genre. It's just various shades of rock. But in terms of...
In other words, if you're a record executive listening, we sound exactly like ourselves all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of record execs pulling their hair out, I mean, is that a concern for you guys right now? I mean, are you...
The whole idea is that we have enough songs where, let's say, like, if a... I'd hate to do this, but if a record executive... I know that, like, most albums are sort of like they're balanced where it's like out of 100%, I'm sorry, at a, like 100, if you have 100% of an album,
speaking of the bike,
I'm used to having drumsticks flailing right in front of my face and hitting the microphone. So, I think most albums they need to like if it's you have 100% of an album, like let's say 60% of the album should be a certain style, so that people are going to mm-hmm. be at least be able to get an idea of what it is. You know, even the White Album, as crazy as it is, all over the place, it's still balanced pretty much. Like 60% of the album is pretty accessible and it's pretty poppy, and that's mostly like Paul McCartney's doing, you know, and George Harrison. But then there's that other, hopefully 40% of the album that is really kind of interesting and strange, and people can kind of, you know, take it or leave it or really be excited by it, you know, that sort of thing. So hopefully that's what we do on each album, is we have like sort of, you know, like let's say 70% of the album is, or 60% of the album is sort of mod based, you know, which is a broad range of music, and, you know, like mod and psychedelic or whatever. And then the rest of it is all like whatever we want to. But we're not going to have a whole album of like, you know, Revolution Number 9 or something like that. I think that's really silly.
I wouldn't
silly.
Even have one song like that.
I wouldn't even have one song either. Number exactly. Nine, number but nine. We did have one song on our first album that was like an extra bonus track that was really kind of crazy and kind of atmospheric and spooky. But
lots
it was a bonus. It's like,
though.
Yeah, it's not like the whole album is like that or anything.
Which actually is my father's favorite song on that album. So
see, and for some people, what? You take a chance.
Why don't we play a track from your CD that okay. I have here, and we'll talk a little bit about how you put it together and what you hope to expect from it, and then we'll do a bunch of live stuff, like back-to-back. How's
all
that?
All right, great, good. Sure.
Yeah? Okay. What track should I play from
Minute
Writing
Image?
Maybe. That's our new single.
She's a little bit. No, I want to know which one you guys want really people to hear. But where can people get this? Is this available? Is it for sale?
It's on CD Baby.
It's on CD Baby. It's on Tower.com. It's, I think it's already on iTunes. If not, it will be soon. You know, one great way to find us and just about any band is to go, of course, to MySpace. And for us, that's myspace.com/sexies. And I believe we have links there to where you can buy the album. You can also listen to some of the tracks and see when we're playing live.
Yeah, and it's kind of confusing because there are, like, 5 sexies on
right.
MySpace. We're the very, very first.
Ah.
And we have it copyrighted, as far as I know.
Yeah, the other ones are punks. In fact... some kids.
If you're listening, if you're in Orange
Literally.
County and you're called the Sexies,
we're coming to
we're
get coming, you.
Yeah,
yeah.
We have a lot of lawyers.
Yeah, some kids in Maryland actually even like went to our website, stole our logo, and put it on their MySpace page and called themselves the Sexies. And
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. Wow. It's just so it just cracks me up. It's so blatant and blasé. And I hope you guys are listening because we're coming now.
So we put the state of Maryland's logo on our website.
Well, I'm not familiar with this MySpace thing you speak of, but it sounds lovely.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah,
all the kids are on there.
Yeah.
Great place. To
actually, anyone who's
girls.
Listening should check out besides MySpace.com/sexies. There's MySpace.com/thisisgood, which is the site for this show, and later on. There will be a link to this very interview on that website. In the meantime, let's get back to work. Let's hear a track from Midnight Raving Angels by the Sexies. This is called She's a Little Bit, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Mm-hmm.
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is The Sexies. If you want to instant message me or the band, if you have a question or anything like that, you can sign on to AOL Instant Messenger, and the handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. Let's go straight into some live music, and we'll chat a bit and have a good time. Why music?
I really stink at pottery. So
good answer.
He does. He's awful. He tried to make a.
Is he the worst potterier?
Yeah. He tried to make an ashtray once, and
I made an ash of myself. Really?
That's great.
We actually have drums here. You can hit at the end of your jokes if you want.
We have wordplay. We're wordsmiths, see, and Todd
I'm
being
a
lyricist.
I'm more of a Jones, actually. You're
he'll come up with, like, puns and double entendres, like, all the time.
Right.
I actually don't ever listen to
him. Did you grow up with, like, music in your family, or
actually, nobody
music
in my family
find you?
Plays music at all. I actually started playing music because of the Beatles. I heard 8 days a week, went out and got a really crummy Sears guitar, like a week later, and played the thing until the ebony paint wore off the fretboard.
As a matter of fact,
and I play
parents,
about as well now, actually, that as I did then.
So. And your parents actually tried to steer him away from his natural inclination of being a musician because they knew of sort of the sordid history of what their family had been through.
Right.
And all they knew was, like, just stay away from music, and they never had music. My parents never had music in our house because they were trying to do the same things. So it's kind of funny that the music broke through somehow or another, you know.
It will set you free.
Magical. You know? And it did set us free because we were all ready to be – we all went to college to be accountants. I went to the University of Kansas. I really can't add either.
I'm bad at ceramics.
It's bad. Yeah, adding, so. It's by default we realize that we are.
There's actually very few things that any of us are good at. So we kind of – you know, I once heard the only – people who should become musicians are people who can't do anything else, and so that really
I've heard that too.
We can't even teach gym.
You know? Yeah, those who can't teach gym become musicians.
Exactly.
And Jerry, what about yourself? You're more of a drummer. Didn't you start out as a drummer, and you write the songs from the perspective of a drummer too. I mean, I know you also play guitar and sing all these things, but the drum is really your instrument.
Most of my songs are about drumming. The lyrics are about what it's like to, you know, like...
life as a drummer, banging on things.
Yeah, exactly. All my songs are about, like, you know...
But seriously, if you could spare some seriousness for just 1 second, I would like to know about drumming and songwriting at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I was really frustrated being a drummer because I couldn't, like, write songs because, you know, like...
People weren't interested in your contributions.
Unless you're Phil Collins and you're a genius like Phil Collins, can you write a song that's, like, all based around the drums? You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, he did. He wrote a couple of really great songs. You guys are laughing here.
Which songs were these?
I don't care anymore. You remember that song? It goes, bloom, bloom, bloom. And, like, the whole song's like that. And then I Can Feel It, Call It, In the Air Tonight. You know that song?
Yeah.
There's nothing
against,
until it goes...
Against All Odds, that's a good song.
Yeah, exactly. See? And so, for I was being a little facetious, but now I'm already sticking it up. I'm sticking up for Phil Collins. Because it's very difficult being a drummer who sings, and I really don't like it very much because it's kind of lame.
Did you play in other bands and they weren't interested so much in your contributions?
Well, that's the thing is I had to, like, learn how to make music. I had to learn how to, like, by sort of default, I was like, no one's writing good songs, so maybe I should figure out how to do it myself. So I'm one of the few people that's actually like a drummer who can actually like write songs. For all the drummers out there who don't.
And I think that Jerry and I tend to complement each other fairly well in terms of he writes very rhythmically, and I tend to write very melodically or very harmonically. You know, like we can add that to each other's kind of songwriting, which is good. Yeah. Where I leave off, you know, he takes over and vice versa.
This is really the opposite of what you hear the old, like, very mean-spirited joke of, like, you know, what do you call the guy that hangs out with the band? The drummer?
The drummer?
Yeah. In this case, it's the bass player.
the one joke I know is, how do you know a drummer's at your door? Because drummers always speed up.
They would
up.
Do it like a roll.
That's right. They speed up all the time. They start in one tempo and end up going at a fast tempo.
Oh, and then they ruin it for everybody.
and they ruin it for everyone. Yeah, that's the only real musicians can understand that.
Speaking
joke.
Of rhythm.
It was a code joke.
Chris, tell me about how you got involved with the Sexies, and especially how you got involved with playing bass.
You know, it's funny. I actually had never touched a bass until the Sexies needed a bass player. And I had played a little bit of guitar, and I had been a lead singer in several bands before. And I, of course, knew Todd and Jerry pretty well, and my then roommate was the original bass player. His name was Stu, and he left. I think he had to go to war or something. And I got a call one day from
Jerry. A lot of
that
going around these days.
Yeah, you know, it happens. I got a call one day from Jerry who said, you know, we don't even know if you know how to play bass, but we'd like you to be in the band. So I said,
you're swell.
Sure. Great, let's do it. And
that's great.
Sort of learned on Sexy's songs.
On the job training.
Yeah, and it worked for them because they can manipulate me however I want, however they want. And
wait a minute, was that a Freudian slip?
No, but that was the gayest group laugh I've had on this show. I can't believe it was a chortle.
Oh my! My ascot is all a flutter.
Okay, well then, now that we've talked a little bit about how you guys work together, why don't we go into another song and see it put to the test?
Okay, we're going to do one called Fraud. This is actually off our first disc. Ready?
Okay, you're listening to The Sexies on Is Good on killradio.org.
La, la, la. I'm a fake.
not to give it away. Just a thought among thoughts, no more than a feeling. No need to be over all. La 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 la. And if I lose it, if I walk alone, trying to win the game of yes and no, won't you catch me?
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is John, and my guest is the Sexies. So Sexies, let's talk about playing live. I know you guys have recently. You guys took a trip to Europe.
Actually, that was
to London.
Yeah,
not, actually, because it was about a year ago.
A year
ago,
yeah. And we went with our good friend Jason Bernstein, who might be listening out there in cyber world. Who we absolutely love, and he was playing guitar with us for a little while, and it was really a blast.
We went out to Liverpool together, and it was a real blast.
We stayed in London in Kensington.
Stayed in London in Kensington, and we played at the Cavern Club in Liverpool, which was great, and we met a lot of really great people. And we drank a lot of beer.
Yeah, it was really strange because we didn't know who he was, but it ended up being the prince. Of England, and we got to stay with them for a little while. It was really wonderful because we're
he was a guy with big ears.
We didn't know because we were at a pub, and
talking about Chuck.
Yeah, we're talking about Chuck. Yeah,
he's a prince.
Yeah, that's why we stayed in that
prince
that
Chuck.
Mansion. Oh shit, you didn't stay in the mansion. Well,
this is awkward.
It is kind of awkward.
The problem is that all white English people look the same. I mean, it is
kind of difficult. Well, Chris is out getting tail.
How is?
We were out hanging with royalty, and it was really, really a lot of fun.
How was your music received there?
By Charles or
by the people that you played for?
It was they. They had a great time.
I don't remember.
We still
it was that good, huh?
I think it went over well.
Yeah, it went over well. People still get in touch with us, and we sold a lot of CDs and T-shirts. That's a great litmus test for any band. If you can sell T-shirts, you're set. They love you. You're gold.
Okay, what about playing out here in Hollywood land? Tell me about some of your, like, how do you know when it was like, wow, it was a great performance? And maybe share a little bit about a performance that wasn't so great. That'd be interesting, too.
I personally never know when it's a good performance until after I get off and people tell me one way or the other.
Because we're busy, like, making fun of each other.
I believe that's
stage.
Quote of the day, by the way. I don't know if it's a good performance until after I get off.
That's right, yeah.
Now tell us about the music.
Is it about audience members coming up to you and being like, yeah, that was great, or do you just know musically if you guys have clicked?
You know, I really think that all three of us are sort of perfectionists, and so I think even if it's the best show ever, we're the types of guys who are going to walk off and remember every mistake before we remember everything great. And it kind of pushes us to do better each time. I mean, I don't know. I always have things that I love about a performance and things that I feel like were the dumbest mistakes I've ever made. You know?
I always have fun. I just have a good time. Because, like, I've played the drums for so long now that I just kind of sit back and have fun. I kind of go in autopilot.
Jerry is like one of those little toys that you wind up and just watch him go. And that's kind of – that really sums up a lot of the way that Jerry approaches gigs, I think, because he's so excited to just let that coil loose.
So it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't
I have a lot
even...
of aggression. I build up aggression and then I let it all out and hit things. And then it's fun just sitting back and, like, watching Todd and Chris just play in front of it. It's like I'm watching the two of them play. And there's drums somewhere, and they're really good.
You don't even, you don't even realize that you're the one doing it, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, whoa, what's this great beat? I'm having such a good time. No, I'm just like, you know, like I'm sort of like dancing, like I'm actually having fun.
What about lyrics? What are the songs about? Are we talking lost love, personal experiences?
Sometimes.
Like, yeah. The last song we just played, Fraud, is actually kind of a tribute to the philosopher Alan Watts, who had a lot of Eastern cool things to say about, you know, what existence is. You know, so.
And we have a lot of, like, sort of story songs, you know what I mean? And, like, Her Embrace is like that, and Perfect Italian is like that. And there's a few songs that are like that, which I think are...
We do write about girlfriends and ex-girlfriends.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff
about
that.
We have to be very careful.
Yeah, we changed the names, but...
And they're all about... All the songs are about Martha.
Does your audience... What do you think?
Who we love, who knows, it's very funny. To her, it's very funny. She thinks it's very funny.
What do you think your fans respond to more? Just the sound of the sexies or the meaning of the words?
I think it's the fact that we don't wear any pants on stage.
You mean the why we're called the sexies?
No.
What audience members respond to more? Like you might hear a band and come away with, like, you know, God, that song really meant something to me, the way they talked about that experience. Or, you know what, I have no idea what they're singing about, but that song was so good, it made me feel good, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing is, like,
at live gigs, you can't really hear the lyrics.
Exactly, that's a real big problem.
What is that? Why is that? Why are live gigs so anti-lyric?
Yeah, everything gets just louder and louder as the years go on, I think.
Yeah.
And clubs just want to blast out the club next door. So.
Yeah, and everything's so compressed that it's all sort of on one level, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? It's very difficult. But, I mean, that goes for just about anything, except if you're seeing the Rolling Stones or something. But the thing is that it's very difficult to equalize a live sound so that you can not only hear the melody of the vocals, but what is being said. So
particularly since we do mostly lip syncing live, and we have to bring tape,
and there's
pre-recorded
a
tapes,
series of loops, yeah.
And it just, you know, technically that can be a real problem. I remember one time Todd was lip syncing Fraud, but the song that was actually coming out of the speakers was Letter to Elizabeth.
Right. Yeah. That and, was real.
It was really embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of got busted on that one.
Oh, that's awkward. Do you guys mind lip syncing a song for me right now?
Yeah. Hold on.
Can we
my
do
cassette.
It live?
Let me get my boombox.
Do you have any Britney Spears?
Fresh out.
Why don't we do Wide Brimmed?
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org, and my guess is the sexies. This is what they sound like.
Ready?
Hunter's cap. Come on, let's get together. Come on, let's dance tonight. I won't leave the house without my wide rim hunter's cap on tight. Birmingham to Vietnam. Are you game? Oh, yes, I am. Savile Row in Amsterdam. Wide rim hunter's cap on tight. Wide rim hunter's cap, hunter's cap, hunter's cap. Wide rim hunter's cap, hunter's cap, hunter's cap. Oh, wide rim hunter's cap. Hunter's cap, hunter's cap, white-brim hunter's cap, hunter's cap, hunter's cap. Mr. Laney starts to stare. Look around, cause I don't care. I stole your daughter's savoir faire. White-brim hunter's cap, I swear. Covent Garden sherry cap. Looks to me and starts to gab. Says, my boy, you look just fab. Wide-brim hunter's cap, oh yeah. Wide-brim hunter's cap, hunter's cap, hunter's cap. 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 Smile, hear them sing, hear the Bombay, it's bays, praise, let it's crazy. All the days I saw it in the shop, shop, chapeau shop, not there, stop. Fashion, If you got yourself a day, hop the late Barcelona train. Hear the brown-eyed beauty say, wide brim hunter's cap, olay. Zooning, crooning, prototype, aero jacket, union stripes. Are my trousers really tight? Wide brim hunter's cap, all right. Wide brim hunter's cap, hunter's cap, hunter's cap. 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 Whoa!
That song is so fantastic. I mean, it's so addictive because you just like you can't help but you know tap your feet and I've heard it
yes,
so many different times.
You, well, you're as a drummer, right, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. No, but I have to tell you, I've seen you play this song live a number of times, and I always thought that the lyric was "Are you gay?" Well, yes, I am. And now I know it's
"Are
you
gay?"
That's
actually quite
apt.
Are
you gay?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I actually, to tell you the truth, I'm in the band, and I thought it was "Are you gay?" Yes, I am for a very long time, and I was always like, but Jerry's not gay. Why does he say he is? In the
why
song?
Does he keep saying?
Jerry.
I was wondering why I could never get a date, you know, with a girl at our gigs. It's really it was strange for a long time.
What is the inspiration for Wide Brim Hunter's Cap?
It was actually for a musical. It was originally for a musical about a pair of brothers that grow up in the 60s and become a big sensation, that sort of thing. And so I wrote a few mod songs that are actually about that are kind of tainted by that. So it's kind of strange because it is sort of like a show tune sort of song. It's like, hey, you know.
But
like,
it has that kind of like a bit of a snideness to it, like a dedicated follower effect.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the idea I was going for, sort of snotty.
Only much more.
Young and beautiful and yeah. Gay, apparently.
I picture a lot of pinstripes and stuff when I
yeah, pinstripes and tight pants and ascots, and that's how we walked around London, actually. It was great. We thought, because all the pictures we knew of London are from the 60s and everyone was wearing like Carnaby Street gear. So when we went there, we were in for a rude awakening. They're not wearing that anymore. If anybody else is planning on going to London or, you know, Carnaby Street, forget it. Liverpool especially, we got choked by several thick-necked Liverpoolians.
They were bruisers.
They were bruisers. And we're like, what? And we're wearing ascots and, you know, wide-neck, you know, jackets. And it was really...
I think they may have thought we were gay.
Well, and then I said it in the song, and then
right,
they had...
exactly. That
it's a tough crowd in
oh,
Liverpool.
By the way, we have Shannon is sending us an instant message from out there in internet land saying
oh,
that
wow.
The sexies rock. And they and she was listening... she wrote wide brim hunter's cap, hunter's cap, hunter's cap.
Who is that? Someone we know,
rock.
Or is that
you know Shannon, my fiance?
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought it was a different Shannon.
By the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's really lovely.
It's all true.
I was hoping that there's like a never-ending supply of Shannons all across the United States that are like, ooh, that's my new favorite band.
Do you have a pretty strong fan base? I mean, I always see people at your shows, but is there sort of like, are there sexies followers?
We do pay a lot of people to show up.
Yeah, and we have a ton of friends.
You place them in the audience.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, well, yeah, it kind of, the thing is we've been in the studio for so long making the second album that we actually have like 3 albums worth of material. We were originally going to release a box set called Hotel Sexies, which is all our songs through the decades.
Which is not the most cost-effective
brand
in the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's really expensive.
Hence
getting
a regular album.
Just a regular album, exactly. But we do, it's still in the works to have Hotel Sexies. We actually had our website said, come wait, you know, Hotel Sexies, like for like 2 years. Now we have an actual website, thesexies.com. And it's actually up and it looks...
Really? I can never get on this.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like as of yesterday. I got it set up, and it's really bare bones, but It does have pictures of us. You want to see what we look like. Absolutely dashing.
Yeah, you guys seem impervious to negative energy. Is this because you have a really strong support system and all your fans are there for you, or are you just on drugs?
Yeah, for me, it's mostly drugs.
Yeah, so. I drink a lot.
Are you a drinking band? I don't get that from you, honestly. Because there are bands, I've had bands in here that are just like, they're drinking bands, you know? Like, what they do, get drunk and they play, and that sort of colors their music.
I think we try to stay sober when we play. I know I've been guilty of occasionally having too many if we go on later. But I think we're more or less a relatively sober band, but we know how to have a good time, too, and we actually, I remember a couple years ago, we created a drinking game involving kung fu movies, right. Where you drink every time the camera zooms. And, well, we discovered that they zoom a lot in kung fu.
Yeah. 10 minutes and we were done.
Yeah. I think Jerry actually fell asleep on my floor while fixing a guitar, eating a burrito, playing a board game by himself and drinking wine coolers.
Because I'm a drummer, I have to keep all parts of my brain occupied and all my limbs, or else I get in trouble. I can use this power for evil or for good, and I'm trying to do it for good. And that's what the band brings me, is an ability to not like smash things.
You guys want to go into another song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. We do Wilton Wilshire.
Okay. So we're just gonna run over a little bit because. Nobody's here at the moment in the Kill Radio studio, so I want to get as many songs out of you as I can.
Thank you.
This is a song that's actually not available on any album. It was going to be on this new album, but there just wasn't room, so we're going to do a rendition of this, Wilton Wilshire. Here we go.
Stay my hands. There's nothing better.
The Sexies, ladies and gentlemen. When are you, where are you guys playing next?
We are playing at the Cat Club on May 18th, which is a week from this coming Thursday. We're opening for a band whose name I don't know if I can say on here. I don't know what your guys' policy on curse words is.
Just fucking say it, man.
Okay. We're playing with the Starfuckers, which is a sort of all-star lineup
I bought coffee
guys
from them this
Guns
morning.
N' Roses and other bands doing covers. And so it should be a great night. Come check it out. And we love you all.
Thank you,
thanks
John.
Thanks for having us, John.
Thanks for coming in, Sexies. You've been listening to a special Saturday edition of Is Good on killradio.org.